One. Last week, we spent some time looking into the topic of baptism as a way of preparing for the baptisms that were going to take place later on that evening. Now I thought we might spend some time meditating on the subject of the Lord's table as we prepare to observe that ordinance this morning. You know, a lot, really, seriously, a lot can be said about the Lord's table. In a way, it's really very simple. There's bread, and there's juice, and it's consumed. I mean, really, what could be less complicated than that? But the Lord has taken this common practice of eating and drinking, and he's made it something which is extremely significant when it's done as a ceremony among believers to remember Jesus. To illustrate how theologically packed the table really is, just consider these questions that we could ask and meditate on. What does it mean to do this in remembrance? Is this merely some mental practice where we try to remember the events of that night, or is there something deeper meant? Why are we supposed to observe the Lord's table over and over again, whereas baptism only occurs once? Why the repetition? How is the table connected with eschatology, or how is it connected with end things? Jesus said that there was another feast coming. When Paul wrote about, when he wrote about the Lord's table, he said that we eat and drink until the Lord comes. How does this meal anticipate the return of Jesus? Why did Jesus choose the particular cup that he did, specifically the third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of blessing? How should that particular cup influence the way that we look at this observance? Why does Paul say that we cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons? How does this table separate believers from unbelievers? What did Christ mean when he said, "This is my body. This is my blood"? How should we understand that kind of language? What does the bread represent? What does the bread represent? When Jesus explains it, he says that it refers to his physical body. Why then, when Paul explains the Lord's table, does he say that it refers to the body of Christ, meaning those who belong to him? Why did God punish some people with sickness and even death when they observed this meal in an unworthy manner? Why are we supposed to examine ourselves before we partake in this meal? How do we go about examining ourselves properly? And we could go on and on. Seriously, we could keep going for a while. Now, here's the deal. There's so much that could be said about the table that I don't want to attempt to deal with it in any kind of exhaustive manner right now. I want us to zero in on one of the themes and really meditate on it. I want to stay there for a while. So let's listen again to Jesus on the night when he was betrayed. Please turn to Matthew 26. I want to read verses 17 through 30. Matthew 26, we'll begin at verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruits of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be able to gather together here as your people, to be able to sing songs of praise to your great name. Lord, we thank you also for the table. We thank you for this reminder that you have built into the schedule of the church, that you have built into our lives, that we can come to it time and time again and be reminded of your forgiveness and your acceptance of us. Lord, we need that reminder because we sin often and we fail and we do things which are contrary to your law, and we need to be reminded that when we repent and we ask for forgiveness, that you grant it so freely because of Jesus' death. Lord, I pray that you would, at this time, illuminate our minds by the Spirit. Allow us to look into your word, to understand it, to know what it means for each one of us. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. The sentence that I want us to meditate on this morning is in Matthew 26, verse 28. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I want us to look at the most fundamental aspect of the table, that it reminds us of the cross. It reminds us of the covenant relationship that we have with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus. It reminds us that our sins have been paid for and that we are forgiven by God. The first word that I want us to consider then is blood. I want us to meditate on the word blood. The word blood is designed to recall the whole sacrificial system of the old covenant, and on this night in particular, the blood of the Passover lamb. On the night of the original Passover, each Israelite household slaughtered a lamb, took its blood, and then covered their doorway with it. When the angel of death went through Egypt, he passed over the houses where he saw the blood. But he killed the firstborn in every home that had no blood in the doorway. The idea presented is that a death had already taken place in the house that had the blood on the doorway. And so the angel of death would pass over. And what this shows us is that blood is the way of averting the judgment of God. The way that God dealt with the sins of his people in the old covenant was to have an animal that would die in their place. The animal's shed blood was poured out so that the people could continue to have fellowship with God. But Jesus did not refer to animal blood on the night of the Last Supper. Jesus said, "This is my blood. This is my blood." The cup is designed to remind us of Christ's death. Jesus was not only keeping Passover, he was explaining its prophetic or its typical significance. He reinterpreted certain aspects of the Passover, and he explained that it was about him and the sacrifice that he was going to make. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Just consider what the blood of Jesus has accomplished. "Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." Romans 5, 9. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." Ephesians 1, 7. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians 2:13. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 9:13 and 14. Knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. You see, we need to be reminded of the violent death of Jesus, which shows both the wrath of God against our sin and the deep love of God for his people. We need to remember the blood sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We need to be reminded of the fact that it cost Jesus his life to secure our redemption. The Lord's table is designed to bring us back to the basics of our faith. It reminds us of the gospel of substitutionary atonement. That is, Jesus died in our place and on our behalf so that we could have eternal life through faith in him. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. The next word that I want us to consider is covenant. Jesus' words here echo back to two Old Testament passages. We're going to look at both of them. We have an echo here to these two passages. The first one is Exodus 24. Please turn there with me. Exodus 24, we're going to read verses 3 through 8. Exodus 24, beginning at verse 3. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Now, Moses did something very strange and, from our perspective, actually pretty disgusting in this passage. He took the blood from some of the sacrifices and he put it in bowls. Some of the blood he took and he threw against the altar. Some of the blood he took and he whipped it out on the people. He sprinkled the people with animal blood. After he did this, he said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you." Now note that Jesus uses the same phrase that Moses does. When Moses did all of this, what did it mean? There seem to be at least two things pictured here: forgiveness and commitment. God provided a remedy for sin within this covenant arrangement. The people were symbolically purified by the blood when it was applied to them. The same blood is accepted on the altar. This means that God will receive this blood on their behalf, and they will be forgiven rather than killed for their sins. And so it represents forgiveness. Commitment is also pictured. Listen to this quote. In the ancient world, a covenant was typically sealed in blood to show what would happen if either party failed to comply. Animals were sacrificed. Then their blood was sprinkled on the people and also on God, represented by his altar. Both parties were undertaking a covenant commitment. This covenant was not signed, but sealed in blood, which showed that the whole arrangement was a matter of life and death. The blood of the covenant held the threat of divine judgment for everyone who broke God's law. By blood, they were bound to keep God's law, and by the same blood, their sins were forgiven. Now, at the Last Supper, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant." You see, Jesus is here acting like a second Moses, the new covenant mediator, and he's proclaiming how the new covenant arrangement will work. God will no longer accept the blood of bulls and goats on behalf of his people. That form of sacrifice will no longer allow a person to maintain a relationship with God. From this point forward, the only way that a person can enter into covenant with God is through the blood of the Messiah. But instead of having the blood of the Messiah sprinkled on us, instead of having that occur, we remember the sacrifice that happened back then when we partake of the cup. Every time we celebrate the Lord's table, we are reminded of how God purified us. And we are also reminded of the covenant commitment that we have entered into with God. Remember that the table calls us to be faithful. Jesus' words about a new covenant arrangement also echo back to another Old Testament passage. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. We'll begin at verse 31. If you read in the other accounts of the Last Supper, you'll see that the words new covenant are specifically stated, although they're not in Matthew's account. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." When we come to the Lord's table, we are reminded that Jesus' sacrifice brought in the new covenant. Jesus has been sacrificed once and for all. And because of that, God makes this covenant promise to us: "I will remember their sins no more." Now, this brings us to the last word that I want us to consider, and it's the word forgiveness. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. When we come to the table, we're supposed to be reminded that we're forgiven by God. God has graciously built into the life of the church a continual reminder of his grace and his mercy toward us. You see, God knows that we will sin against him, right? He knows that we will feel guilt. He knows, God knows my heart. He knows that I will sin against him and that I'll feel guilt, and I'll have, even though I might confess it and I turn away from my sin, I still might have that sense that things are not right between me and my God. He knows my weaknesses. He knows that I will have a tendency to meditate on the things that I've done wrong. And then I'll despair. Because of this, he graciously commanded us to observe the table so that we might be repeatedly reminded of his way of dealing with our sin, which is the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. God knows that we need to be reminded of the gospel. He understands that we need to be continually taken back to the source of our salvation, our justification, and our forgiveness. We need to remember the cross. We need to remember that it was Jesus and his work which saved us, not our own righteousness, not our own performance. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. God wants us to know the blessedness of forgiveness. Isn't that awesome? I mean, seriously, isn't that awesome? God wants us to know deep within that we are forgiven and accepted by him. That's the best thing you could know. He has no intention of condemning his blood-bought children. When we come to the table, this is a time to be refreshed and renewed in these awesome gospel truths. May we remember afresh then the good news of Jesus this morning as we eat and drink. Amen.